You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome to the Gym Class for a Tuesday here at KGYM as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour. Presented by NUPACO Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website, NUPACO.com, celebrating their 75th anniversary this year. Scott Udash, Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Isaac on the other side of the glass. The gang is all back after the Memorial Day weekend. Hope you had a good one out there, a good safe one, and had a lot of fun, whether with friends or family, whatever was on your docket. We hope you had a good one. Weather-wise, it was a good one. A little bit warm today. Could use some rain. Maybe that's coming in. And we're back. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That's the phone line as well. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you today about the Memorial Day weekend, everything that went on, et cetera, et cetera. As we come your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well here today. Hope everyone had a good extended weekend. Feels like Monday. Always seems that way, doesn't it, gentlemen? But good to have you back. Did you have a good Memorial Day, guys? Mark?
Yeah, it was pretty quiet. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And yeah, relatively quiet, which is fine with me. had a lot of homework to do.
A lot of homework?
Between Indy 500 and Big Ten baseball and Twins baseball, and yeah.
We'll get to all that.
But, yeah, good weekend. How about you?
I had a good one. Isaac, good weekend?
Yeah, I was busy Saturday, and then Sunday, obviously, I was here. But Monday, I was able to kind of take a day and just relax. Nothing really on the docket. Just exist for a day.
Just an Isaac day.
Just exist. Watch some baseball and just relax for a full day. So that was nice.
Nice. Very good. Hope everyone had a good one out there. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. 319-366-1600. We have the matchups set for the championship series for both the NBA and the NHL. Very similar for both of them. South Florida feel. South Beach feel for both of them. The Florida Panthers, we knew that they were in. And then took a little bit longer for Vegas to get in, but the Golden Knights took care of things in a big, big way in game number 6. And then last night in the NBA, just when you thought that everything was going the way for the Boston Celtics, winning 3 in a row, going home, playing in front of their hostile home crowd in Miami, was never looked in the rearview mirror in that game last night.
No, Boston tried to make history and left history in the rearview mirror. Pretty much laid an egg in my mind. So it's Miami and Denver. You got to favor Denver there, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
But somewhat of an unlikely final. I think very much an unlikely final, as is true in hockey.
And that is the subject of today's poll question at KGYMRadio.com. It's brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his team. I trust they had a good Memorial Day weekend as well.
Which championship matchup is more intriguing? The NHL or the NBA? Go ahead and vote at KGYMRadio.com.
What do you think? Like I said, they're very similar. Very, very similar. I mean, it's a 1 versus an 8, no matter how you slice it. I would say, and you've got two teams. I mean, you've got Denver, who's never been to the championship final. Vegas, still a relatively new team, and Vegas has come out of the chute. And I think you can say the most successful expansion team in the history of all professional sports in America have been the Vegas Golden Knights. They've done it right.
two finals in what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
Something like that?
I don't know. Like I said, it's a tough question to answer. Which championship matchup is more intriguing, the NHL or the NBA?
I'd say you, Isaac.
I don't know. What do you think, Isaac?
I mean, it's tough. I would lean the NBA just because you have, like, Eric Spoelstra and you have the Heat players who have been there. A lot of the core or whatever have been to the finals before. And then you have the Nuggets who are really talented with Jokic and Murray and Porter Jr. and stuff. But the only real championship experience they have is KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And so it's kind of opposite in that way, too, where, you know, maybe Denver might be seen as the better team, but they don't have as much championship experience as someone like the Heat might have with Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, and the Kyle Lowry, who's won it with the Raptors and things like that. So I would lean NBA, but it's pretty close. Again, they're very similar, but different in ways, too.
Who's going to guard Jokic?
They're just going to throw bodies at him, probably. It's kind of like what you did with like LeBron when he was on the Cavs, where you just throw people at him and hope foul him, slow him down for a couple times. Like, I mean, they'll probably put...
you got 18 fouls to give.
Yeah, I think you got like Cody Zeller. I think they'll probably get some minutes just to foul him. Kevin Love, not a great defender, but they might put him on there just to get some fouls and pull him out of from the center.
Cody Zeller's still in the NBA.
Yeah. I think it's Cody. I can never tell them apart. So I think it's Cody Zeller. I might be wrong. It might be
the Zellers.
It's one of them. It's one of the Zellers.
One of the brothers.
Yeah.
One of the brothers. Go ahead and vote KGYMradio.com. Let's get to the weekend and in the world of sports around here anyway. The big story is the Iowa baseball team getting and advancing to the championship game of the Big Ten tournament over in Omaha. Fell to the number one seed in Maryland, Terrapins. Shut out in the championship game. But still, Iowa did more than enough to get to the regionals in the NCAA. That was announced yesterday. We'll talk with Kyle Huseman coming up here in just a little bit from Hawkeye Report, who covers the Iowa baseball team. And he's going to be over I've never heard this term before. I very good for these. Paradise.
Really?
Terre Haute. I've been to Terre Haute. I'm not going to throw the word paradise in there.
I saw today Rick Keller likes the sushi over there.
Well, he was Indiana State's coach, as we all know.
Yeah.
He was the head of the Sycamores. Very good baseball program in the MVC. They're the hosts. They're the number one seeded team. And Iowa avoids them. Iowa gets the North Carolina Tar Heels in the first round.
Excellent run for Iowa in the Big Ten tournament. I don't know that Iowa ran out of gas in that championship game, but couldn't really touch the Maryland pitching. And Iowa's pitching was okay, except for a couple bombs that Maryland hit. But it's a new season now, and it's North Carolina in the first game on Friday night, I believe, 6 p.m., and Indiana State and Wright State also in that four-team regional.
If you're fortunate enough to win the region, you then move on to the super regional, which is the best 2 out of 3. And if you advance beyond that, by golly, Iowa knows the way to Omaha. And they would have a lot of Hawkeye black and gold, I think, in the stands. But you got to take things one day at a time. Yes, the biggest sports adage out there. I know. You got to take everything one day at a time. And Iowa will try it against North Carolina coming up on Friday. Boy, it's a lot easier to win that first game than to have to go through and come back, even though it's a four-team bracket, and get back to the championship. That first game is so pivotal, so critical for Morgan and the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, it is. And we'll talk to Kyle about the strategy going in for Rick Keller's group and what lies ahead. And I think, you know, everything that I've seen and read, the opinions out there, think it's a pretty good regional draw for Iowa. Iowa defeated Indiana State in February. That was a long time ago.
That's a century ago.
6-2 in 11 innings, but have seen one another. Whether they'll see one another again, we'll see.
I'd like to think that would be the case. And, yeah, Rick Keller is going to have a lot of, I think a lot of people there pulling for him. And he knows Terre Haute as well as the Indiana State Sycamores probably know Terre Haute. And good to have him kind of back there. Old home week, if you will, for Rick Keller. We'll talk with Kyle about all of that coming up in just a little bit. But good job by the Hawkeye baseball team to advance to the another championship game in a year athletically. And I think we can, you know, now focus on this a little bit more with Gary Barta. As we talked about on Friday, announcing his retirement. What a way to go out with the softball team winning the National Invitational Softball Tournament and the Big Ten Baseball Tournament, Iowa getting to the finals, and then moving on to the regionals. So couldn't script anything to this point anyway as far as your late spring sports for Gary Barta's last year.
No, and it was a good winter season as well, as both the Iowa men and women made the NCAA basketball tournament. Iowa runs to the championship game. Iowa wrestling, doing what Iowa wrestling does. Didn't win a championship, but fared very well. And overall, it's a pretty good year for Iowa athletics.
Not too bad. Going back to our question, our poll question at KGYMradio.com, which championship matchup is more intriguing, the Stanley Cup final or the NBA championship, the NBA finals? Don't get us started with that. 0835 says, I think this will be a very competitive series and go six, but I don't know how much more the Heat have left. Nuggets in six.
Okay.
I'm going Nuggets in five. Isaac likes that. He's shaking his head.
That's where I'm leaning right now. But again, Miami, I told this, we were talking to Spencer, Miami, I've picked against Miami or thought like Milwaukee would come back eventually, or initially I thought the Celtics were going to beat Miami. So it feels wrong to go into this just be like the Nuggets are gonna five is kind of a roll gentleman sweep whatever, like they're gonna dominate Miami, and it feels wrong because Miami has proven that if you doubt them they will make you pay. So
Denver with a lot of rest
and yeah. Potentially rust too. I could mean be. Nine games yeah. off is a lot of days, and it's hard to maybe stay motivated throughout those days. That's why I think you see Michael Malone come out with some quotes being like, why are you paying attention to the Lakers still? They're out. I think he's just trying to get his team energized and make them stay engaged and stuff like that.
It's all about the Lakers, man. 319-366-1600. As far as the Stanley Cup final is concerned, I'd love to pull the trigger on my adopted Florida Panthers for the playoffs, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to go six. Vegas and six. Golden Knights get it. And the what a great parade it will be. Now, do you shut down the Vegas Strip to have the parade? Questions that need to be answered if that you never thought were going to be asked in sports. Do you shut down the Vegas Strip to have the championship parade for the Vegas Golden Knights?
How about a double celebration in Florida?
Well, it's still out there. I don't think it's going to happen. But I didn't think the Florida Panthers were going to beat the Boston Bruins. I did not think that was going to take place. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in as far as the championship series are concerned, Iowa baseball is going to be in action coming up on Friday night. Talk to Kyle Huseman coming up here in about 10 minutes or so and get his thoughts about Iowa's chances and how they line up as far as this regional is concerned. And great season, 40-plus wins for this baseball team. And you just, again, got to tip your hat to Rick Keller. And it's got to be one of the top baseball coaches on the collegiate level in America that you don't hear a whole lot about.
Yeah, Iowa two wins away from an all-time record tying a 44th victory in program history. Should Iowa reach that or exceed it, that means there's a pretty good regional. So we'll see how that pans out. And I think Iowa has a, where did they say, 35, 40% shot of winning the regional?
See, I don't know where they come up with that stuff. I don't get it.
They also only gave, or ESPN only gave Miami 3% chance to beat the Celtics in that series. So for whatever these percentages mean, take that with a grain of salt.
Love that when you get to two outs in the ninth inning and there's a huge comeback. Oh, they had a 99.7% chance of winning. Well, no kidding. It was one out to go in the ninth inning and you're up three. Yeah, I'd say percentages are pretty good. But somebody's in the back with a calculator and whatever to come up with these and compute them and throw them out there on the screen for everybody to take a look at and then just be amazed when it happens every so often. There you go. 319-366-1600 here in the Gym Class on KGYM. Exciting weekend as well nationally. Of course, when you get to the Memorial Day weekend, you think a lot about auto racing. Had a great time at the 500 over the weekend. A lot of people texting me on Sunday inquiring. No, that the tire was not in it, not that close. Close enough. That was a scare. In all seriousness, that was a just, that's the last, that is the absolute one thing you do not want to see. It has not happened in a race in a long, long time. It was a fantastic race. It was a strange race when it came down to the end with all the restarts and the red flags. IndyCar wanted to make sure. IndyCar does not have overtimes or things like that. That's a NASCAR thing in its own right. But they try to get a race that ends under green. And they tried it. I didn't think they were going to do the last one, but they did. Most of the field, from what I hear and read, were for it. Obviously, Marcus Ericsson, who was ahead, did not care for the call, but said he's going to live with it. It's going to take a while for him to make peace with it, but he will live with it. And Joseph Newgarden, the American from Nashville, gets the victory and then went into the crowd afterwards, which is new. That was a new one in racing.
Oh, it was a really popular win, I think. Newgarden's a fan favorite in many regards. But, yeah, you were telling me earlier this is only the second time they've went ahead and raced the lap. Many races, not many, but enough races have ended in a caution.
Right? Right. And we thought it was going to be when they sent them around again and through the accident scene and got the lap done, and then there were two to go, and well, this is it. That's done. But sent everybody in, and we're going to have a one-lap shootout. Only happened one other time, and that was in 1997 when they had a one-lap shootout, which was kind of an accident. They made a very late call on it, and Ari Leyendijk had a very famous quote over his radio that I cannot repeat here.
So they just make up the rule as they go along?
Well, it's a judgment call.
Based on what?
Based on many factors. How many laps are left. There are just a lot of factors. You got to make a call, and you got to make it very, very quickly. And they did. They did. Ericsson didn't like it. Newgarden did. Newgarden knew he was in good shape because second was the best place to be on a restart. But it was a great race. It was a lot of strategy, a lot of great saves, great passes. Tony Kanaan passing with all four wheels in the grass. I don't recommend that at home, kids. But he got away with it. Got away with it. And there were a lot of great things that people did that they got away with on the racetrack.
Yeah, I thought it was really a clean race for, what, 180 laps? And then it got messy. But whatever you think of, the one-lap shootout or should there have been a caution, that was a heck of a pass by Newgarden.
It was.
And to hold off Ericsson at the end was terrific.
Mm-hmm. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. And thankfully, somehow, and I saw a tweet from one of the IndyCar people that I know that cover the circuit saying that, you know what, if it was an angel that came down, caught that tire and took it out, they're very thankful for it because it went right between the end of the Turn 2 grandstands and the suites. Unfortunately, hit a white Chevrolet in the parking lot and did a lot of damage to it. Now, Doug Bowles, the Speedway president, found out who that was, the person that owned the car. They got a tour. They got to get photos taken at the bricks, et cetera, after the race. Made sure they got home A-OK. Don't know if, I mean, that's a great call to the insurance man, isn't it? Or the insurance woman. Hey.
You can't make this up.
Hey, I don't know if you were watching the race. I mean, we can have fun with it now. But it was, that was scary. That was scary. That's the absolute one thing you do not want. IndyCar, and their tires are tethered to the car. I don't know how that works, but they are. And the tether stayed intact. It was something else that cut it off. I guess they're looking into it, and they're going to make an adjustment, they said, if they find out that something does need to be adjusted. I think it was just one of those things that everything went absolutely perfect storm situation. You're not going to have a guy stop in front of the field very often like that. It was at Indianapolis where it's the fastest speeds, basically. Just a lot of things that went into that. And, again, thankfully, that tire landed on somebody's fender instead of in the grandstands.
Yeah, I think so, too. But it has to be scary at the time. And you weren't terribly close to that.
I was about 150 yards away.
That's close enough.
That's close enough. That's close enough. And had well-wishers asking, where were you? How close was that? Hey, saw it. And just, oh, boy. In fact, I was looking at the tire, and I did not see Kyle Kirkwood get upside down on his lid. And he was fine, too.
Mm-hmm.
So all's well that ends well, and they will go to Detroit this week. Thank you, 0818. Not a fan of racing, but thoroughly enjoyed the Indy 500 broadcast on 1600 this weekend. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. You can thank Isaac. He was the one here running it. And watching it. You were listening and watching. You had the best of both worlds right there.
I had soccer on one computer. I had the race on, and then I had the race on the TV.
Very nice.
Yeah, I had a whole setup in here.
Very nice. 0905, there should be a rule of having... Oh, wait a minute. The one racer at the end wasn't a fan of Newgarden and said he got pinched. I'll remember that. That was actually Pato O'Ward talking about Marcus Ericsson. And, yeah, I'm sure the IndyCar had a talk with both of them. I thought it was a racing incident. I thought Pato O'Ward could have been a little bit more patient. He would have been able to get by him on the front straightaway. You do not get even with people in IndyCar. It's just going too fast, open wheels, et cetera, et cetera. Also, there should be a rule having to finish running three green laps. I'd be mad if I went to a race and it finished under caution, deflating. Well, NASCAR does not. NASCAR will have green, white, checkered over and over and over again. And they are the only sanctioning body in the world that does that. I guess it's your personal preference, right?
Yeah, I doubt Indy's going to go to something
no,
like that.
No, it's too dangerous. Yeah. It's too dangerous for NASCAR. And I've said that on record many, many times. And you don't use your cars as weapons. And now there's controversy yesterday with Denny Hamlin and Chase Elliott. Denny Hamlin accusing Chase Elliott in the Coke 600 yesterday of intentionally turning him into the wall. Chase Elliott denying it categorically. I don't know how NASCAR is going to come up with this one, but keep in mind, Chase Elliott is the most popular driver in NASCAR. Will they sit him down? I don't know. 319-366-1600. Jeff, before we get to the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here, talking about Iowa baseball, a lot of major league talent on that Iowa baseball team. They got their eyes on a few folks. That we know. That we know. And hopefully that talent will lead Iowa to the Super Regional coming up starting on Friday in Terre Haute, Indiana. Lot to get to, Mark, on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. Eat local, try their burgers and fries. They're made fresh daily. And wet your whistle with drinks from their fully stocked bar or bring the whole family for friendly service in the dining area online at emilshideaway.com.
The Iowa Letterman's Club and the University of Iowa Athletics Department has announced its 2023 Hall of Fame class. It is headlined by former basketball star B.J. Armstrong. Other recognizable names being taken in: Jolette Law from the women's basketball program, Brent Metcalf, wrestler, Bill Seberg from that great 1950s men's basketball team, and Eric Steinbach in football. In total, it is a 10-person class. Moving on, Kirkwood has won the National Junior College Division II Golf Championship, men's golf, that is. It's Kirkwood's first national title in golf, and we're endeavoring to get Darren Pint, the coach,
on. Coach
soon.
Pint.
Cole will play in the NCAA Division III World Series in softball. The Cohawks advanced and will play Thursday at 4 p.m., against second-seeded Linfield out of Oregon. Finally, Iowa and Iowa State wrestling programs picked up transfers out of the portal. Iowa getting Joey Cruz, 125-pounder out of Oklahoma. He'll have 4 years of eligibility remaining. And Iowa State signed Will Feldkamp out of Clarion. He finished seventh in the most recent NCAA championships.
Help for both of those squads. Interesting talks today, and maybe we'll get to it after we talked Iowa baseball coming up here, but interesting talk today with the SEC coaches about their thoughts on 9-game football schedules, but more importantly, their thoughts about transferring. They know their thoughts aren't going to be legislated, but just some interesting thoughts that came out of there.
And interesting, too, that Colorado is in conversations to rejoin the Big, well, it was the Big 8 then.
It was the Big 8 then.
To move into the Big 12. And I don't know what's a better fit.
It would be the linchpin to a brand new cycle of, oh my goodness, this is happening. Expansion for the power conferences. It's going to be interesting if Colorado goes, because that's going to start everything once again. All right, 3:32. We'll take a break. Come back, have more for you on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Come back, talk about the Iowa baseball team when we return right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have plenty of sunshine today. Temperatures are going to be climbing into the upper 80s to near 90 degrees. As we head into tonight, we'll have mostly clear skies and drop down to a low around 60. Tomorrow will be toasty with temperatures up around 90. The humidity will be a bit higher, and we'll have the chance for a few isolated showers and storms. That'll be the case for the rest of the week. Temperatures near 90, a little humid, with a chance for hit or miss thunderstorms. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Opening to the public in September 2023, it's Pin Seekers, with two levels of year-round entertainment featuring 56 all-weather luxury golf suites, smart target greens, 18 holes of authentic mini golf, 6 lanes of duck pin mini bowling, multi-sport simulators, event space, and so much more. For a limited time, get your individual or family membership and save over $500 while also receiving 3 months free. Get your membership or gift card today at pinseekers.golf.
Save 11% on energy-efficient windows. We have over 100 gel-lined windows in stock and ready to take home. They feature energy-efficient glass to keep your heating and cooling costs down. Get a 28-inch wide by 54-inch tall single-hung replacement window for $139 after rebate. Need a custom size? Get a free estimate in-store or on Menards.com. Good through June 4th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer, and under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email julie at kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back with you on the Gym Class here at KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it. As we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on this Tuesday, we'll get to before 4 o'clock today, a little bit of news as far as high school football is concerned. We will talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in on the conversation here today. And going to talk Iowa baseball right now, as pleased to be joined by Kyle Huseman, who covers Iowa baseball, women's basketball, field hockey, anything that goes to regionals and national championships. Kyle is there for Hawkeye Report and on 3 Sports. Kyle, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And you seem to be the good luck charm for any team wearing black and gold out there. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on. And it does kind of seem that way. It's funny that baseball, you know, they're in the NCAA regional, and as far as it is right now, they're the ones that had the shortest trip. You know, field hockey made the Elite Eight, and women's basketball made the national championship. So maybe that's good news for Iowa baseball here coming up this next couple of weeks.
Before we get to the regional itself, Kyle, let's talk about the Big Ten tournament and what happened, everything including the championship game.
Yeah, I think it was a really, really solid tournament for the Hawkeyes. I mean, you start 3-0, and I talked about, you know, on multiple things I did, whether it's podcast or on the Twitter space, how important those first couple of games were to get off to a good start and give you a chance of getting deep into the weekend, because losing either of those first two games is going to put them behind from a pitching standpoint. And they did a good job, you know, beat Michigan in that first game, run ruled on them, and actually saved an inning of pitching in that first game on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, things started slow against Indiana, but the offense broke out late, and they were able to get that win. And at that point, you know, they were to Saturday, having played two games, and had really saved a lot of pitching, and they got into the weekend feeling like the bullpen was really fresh. And, I mean, you get to Saturday, and Ty Langenberg starting a game, and at that point, you know, you feel really good about advancing the championship, and Ty came out and threw really well on Saturday. They shut out Michigan. Came up short on Sunday. Maryland also had saved their pitching pretty well, so they threw some of their better bullpen arms on Sunday. And, you know, Iowa didn't play bad. You know, they missed a couple of early opportunities with guys on base, and Maryland, you know, hit a couple of home runs, and that was ultimately the difference. But a really successful week for Iowa in the Big Ten tournament. You know, wasn't really – they didn't have to do that. It wasn't one of those years where you felt like they had to, you know, win some games in the Big Ten tournament or win the whole tournament to get into the NCAA tournament. They went to Omaha feeling that they are pretty locked in. But what it does is it, you know, gives the team a lot of confidence, builds some momentum to make that run in a tournament setting right before you go into the ultimate tournament, which is the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and kind of piggybacking on that, Kyle, a little bit, I think Iowa was in going to Omaha, like you said. Definitely were when they won that first one. But getting to the championship game, most people had them slated as a 3 in one of the regionals. Getting to the championship game, though, I think got them to the 2. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's ultimately what did it. You know, I thought that they would have a chance if they got to the championship. I figured they would get a 2 seed had they won the Big Ten tournament. it ultimately didn't really seem to play out to be that big of a deal because they get North Carolina in that first game, which I'm sure we'll get to. You know, North Carolina was one of those other teams as well that was right there on that 2-3 line. Everything that I have heard was rumored that those were kind of the last two that were right on the line. You know, D1 baseball had some of their projections. They had Iowa's a 3 and North Carolina's a 2. So ultimately, I think Iowa ended up getting a 2-seed caliber team anyway in the first round. But, you know, it was still, you know, getting to the championship, I think, is what moved them up to that 2-seed line. And I think they got a pretty favorable draw for the NCAA tournament.
In terms of this North Carolina matchup, a couple things that I wanted to ask you about. North Carolina apparently going to be without one of its best players, but on the other hand, Iowa has been without one of its as well. But just looking at things, North Carolina and Iowa score a lot of runs, offensive teams, but the edge, it seems like pitching for Iowa. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the first thing you mentioned there, Vance Honeycutt, their star outfielder, is going to be out for the regional. I believe it was a lower back injury is what was reported. You know, he's batting .257 on the season, so the average isn't up super high. But he leads the team in walks. He also has 12 home runs on the season. He's an outstanding outfielder as well. I think probably one of the best outfielders in the country. I mean, I don't watch a lot of North Carolina baseball, but it seems like every time I see a North Carolina highlight, whether it's on Twitter or whatever, it's Vance Honeycutt making a diving catch or robbing a home run. So they'll have his defense out of the lineup this weekend. And it's bad as well. Like I said, 12 home runs and then, you know, .418 on base percentage and 19 stolen bases. So they're going to be without him. But as you mentioned, you know, I was without Keaton Anthony as well. So both teams kind of have, you know, large pieces out of their lineup. Iowa's at least been able to deal with that for a couple of weeks and you know, kind of get into a lineup that they feel comfortable with without him. You talked about the pitching staff. I think when I was pitching at their best level, whether it's the starting pitching or the bullpen pitching, they're right up there with anyone, you know, the top teams in the country in terms of full pitching staff. You know, looking at the statistics, you know, you have to look at it a little bit differently because North Carolina does play in the ACC. They played 30 games this season against teams that made the tournament. So they're playing some pretty good competition, but still, you look at, you know, their starting pitching, their bullpen arms. They've got some good arms. You know, there's a couple of guys that are really good. You know, they got Matt Poston out of the bullpen. I'm looking at it right now. 1.7 ERA in 30 appearances. So they've got some arms, and they've got some talented guys in the pitching staff. But I would say that any time that when I was pitching at their best, like I said, either starting pitching or bullpen pitching, you know, you can take Iowa against many of the teams in the country.
Kyle Huseman joining us here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class at 3:42. I was going to start Marcus Morgan again in the first game coming up on Friday night. Really terrific season, especially the second half of the season. He's now pulled himself up to the top guy, the number one starter for Rick Hiller anyway. And when Marcus started getting hot, Iowa kind of started getting hot. So the correlation is there.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing for Marcus and even Brody Brecht as well, for them both being top guys, being starters in this rotation, it's about limiting walks. You know, I obviously mentioned Marcus is getting the start on Friday for the regional opener. That's the big thing for him. You know, 47 walks in 60 innings this year is a little high, but just a .177 opponent batting average. So when Marcus is around the zone, you know, controlling his fastball, controlling his off-speed pitches, teams aren't hitting him. It's not, you know, teams aren't hitting 300 against him. That's how he's allowing runs because, you know, a couple free bases here and there, and then it's the one hit that he allows that ends up being the damage. So for him, you know, coming into this weekend, you know, it's going to be about coming out on Friday and setting the tone, not walking guys, just limiting as many base runners as possible on the free side. And when he does that, he's as good as a pitcher as anyone in the Big Ten. I mean, he was up there in Big Ten play, was up there among all the pitchers in Big Ten with the top in the tops of all those categories. And you mentioned near the second half of the season, he's really started to dial it in and settle in. And that's why he's in this Friday start against North Carolina. But for him, for Brody Brecht, and then even Ty Langenberg, it's been about limiting those three bases because all three of them, when they're pitching at their best, teams can't hit them. It's when they're putting guys on base, whether it's a hit by pitch or a couple of walks, that's when they've gotten into trouble. So the key for not only Marcus but the whole starting rotation is is just being around the zone and forcing teams to swing the bat, mm-hmm. because when teams are swinging the bat at their best stuff, they haven't been able to hit it very much this year.
What is the strategy for Rick Heller in starting Morgan and then knowing there is going to be a second game? Where does he turn then?
Yeah, I think it sets up pretty well for Iowa in the fact that, and it kind of did the same thing in the Big Ten tournament, where you can either, you know, in the Big Ten tournament, you can win three games and get to the championship. In a regional setting, you can win three games and move on to the super regional. And Iowa kind of has a nice setup where when Marcus, Brody, and Ty are all throwing at your best, they're all Friday-level arms. And, you know, if you can get that this weekend, there's a chance that you can throw those three starters and not even have to worry about, you know, what are we going to do for a fourth game, a fifth game even, because that's possible. So I think the plan is going to be to start with Marcus, and then you'll look at, you know, a matchup on Saturday. Who are we playing? Is it Indiana State? Is it Wright State? And that's kind of how they'll pick whether they go with Brody or Ty. You know, Ty had a really good start against Michigan, so maybe if you win that first game, you think about going with him. But I think the pitching staff really sets up from a starting pitching standpoint because you have three really good starters. And if things work out for you and you play well enough, that's all you're going to need in a regional.
You mentioned this regional, a pretty good draw for the Hawkeyes. Obviously, Indiana State is the host over in Terre Haute. Wright State, the number four, North Carolina and Iowa, kind of on that same plane anyway. And I don't know if Rick Heller could have scripted it any better. Not that there's an easy regional out there. Certainly not the case. Indiana State's had very good baseball over the years. But I guess you take your chances here if you're Rick Heller.
Yeah, I think from the standpoint of where you're traveling to, I think some would say that Indiana State's probably the easiest regional to go to from a host standpoint. Like you mentioned, they're still a very good baseball team, very good pitching staff, you know, an offense that has the ability to score runs. You know, they didn't win 42 games for no reason. You know, they're a really good baseball team. Whether they play in the Missouri Valley or not, you still have to go out and win those games. And a 24-3 record in conference play is impressive no matter what conference you're in. So they'll be a tough out. Like I mentioned with this North Carolina matchup, a really good team was right on the line of a 2-3. But a very winnable game when you start to break it down and look at, you know, the pitching staff, things like that. And even Wright State, they're a solid baseball team in the Horizon League. They have 39 wins this season. But from a standpoint of, you know, what host could you have? Indiana State, you know, it's a shorter drive for Iowa fans, so that helps out. The thing that Rick mentioned yesterday that I hadn't even thought about was, Indiana State doesn't play in a giant baseball stadium. You know, it's similar size to Dwayne Banks Field. And, you know, if you travel to an Arkansas or a Vanderbilt or you know, some of these other southern teams that have big stadiums, bigger crowds, Iowa doesn't have a ton of experience in that. They have some with playing LSU and Texas this year. There was a big crowd there. Obviously, Sunday at the Big Ten tournament. But Indiana State could potentially have that Dwayne Banks feel because it's a little bit smaller size. You know, there could be a decent amount of Iowa fans there. And I think that's kind of an underrated thing when you feel at home at a place, kind of. But, yeah, I think from a regional standpoint, they got a host that is a very good team, obviously. They're hosting for a reason. But it's not a team that you really think is, you know, maybe way better or better than you on paper. They're a team that they've already beat this year. So I think the draw is pretty good. It's going to be tough. Iowa's going to have to play at their best level. But I certainly think it's a winnable regional.
This Iowa offense, Kyle, seems to be one that you never know who you're going to get the biggest contribution from, whether it's Sam Peterson or Seegers or Huckstorp, even Braden Frazier in the Big Ten tournament. But you can't deny what the acquisition of Brennan Dorigi has meant to this team, right?
Yeah, I think Brennan, I've talked about it with Rick Heller several times this year. Just kind of asking about, is this what you kind of foresaw when you picked up Brennan from Wofford in the transfer portal? And he said this is exactly what he thought. He's a guy that he's hitting .340 right now. He's right up there. He leads the team in home runs. He's up there in doubles, leads the team in RBIs. He's kind of doing exactly what Rick had foreseen happening. The other thing he's done is off the field, he's been a leader for this team. I mean, he came in and was on the team for a semester and was picked as the team captain, which just shows his off-the-field, you know, leadership abilities. And he's been a guy that, you know, stepped up. I know he didn't have the greatest Big Ten tournament, But, you know, he stepped up those couple of series with when Keaton Anthony had first left the lineup, and he had been a big guy. But you talked about not knowing who's going to step up, and that's kind of been the big thing all season is you don't – you know, some previous Iowa teams, it felt like, you know, last year maybe it was waiting for Keaton Anthony and Peyton Williams to come up to hit the big home run or, you know, the double in the gap to drive in runs. You know, previous things, even before that, you know, Jake Adams had 30 home runs in the season. Felt like you were kind of waiting for him at times. This team, you know, you can have a game where Brendan Durie goes 0-for-4, and it's, you know, Kyle Huxdorfer, it's Sam Honar that hits a couple of home runs, or it's, you know, you mentioned Braden Frazier, Sam Peterson, and even Cade Moss down in the ninth spot will give you a couple of hits, and he gives you great bats every time up. And, you know, Ben Wilmuth is a guy that's done a great job in the leadoff role. You never know who's going to be that guy that's going to step up and get you two hits. And that's what makes this Iowa offense so good is, you know, there's some lineups where you can go, oh, hey, you know, 8-9, you know, 7-8-9, they're guys that you can probably get out. Any given night, you know, those 7-8-9, those 4-5-6, even the, and then the 1-2-3, they can all get you 2-3 hits and a couple of walks and a couple of home runs. And when you never know where the you know, where the big hit is going to come from, that's hard to pitch to. And I think that's the biggest thing about this Iowa offense going into the postseason is you never know who's going to step up and make the big play. It was Braden Frazier in the Big Ten tournament. You know, it could be anyone, 1 through 9 in the big NCAA tournament that comes up with big hits to help this team win some games.
Well, the interesting thing about this offense, too, is you don't get a lot of teams that has the power of this team, 66 home runs, and then 98 out of 113 as far as stolen bases are concerned. I think that's what makes this team a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I think this team has a lot of speed. You know, you mentioned the 98 stolen bases. You know, it's big when you get a guy in first base, whether it's Michael Seegers or Kyle Huxdorf, you know, even Sam Honar, you know, some of these guys, Sam Peterson as well. It means something to an offense when that guy's on first base and a double in the gap can score him. You know, taking that extra base, you know, stealing bases to get in the scoring position, whether it's taking first to second and getting in on a single or taking second to third and getting in on a fly ball. Those extra bases add up throughout a season. When you have that many guys in the lineup, you know, that can do that, that's big for an offense. Because like I said, you know, if you get on first base and a double in the gap can score you, there's teams that you know, only have a guy or two in the lineup that can do that. And if that guy's not on first base and that double and, hey, in the eighth inning, you got a guy on and a double in the gap, it can score, you know, 5-6 guys in the Iowa lineup, whereas the other teams, it could be, you know, 1-2 guys. And Rick uses that to his advantage. He when he knows that a catcher doesn't have the best arm, he'll take extra bases. He'll take extra bases with stolen bases. He'll send an extra guy if he knows the outfield doesn't have the greatest of arms. And when you can rely on that many speed guys in your lineup to be able to take the extra base, it really raises the ceiling of your offense.
Well, Kyle, thanks for the time. Make sure you ask Rick Keller all the good places to go in Terre Haute because he knows. And so should be an enjoyable weekend and hopefully another good one for the Hawks. And keep up the great work with Hawkeye Report. And thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Rick already gave us a bunch of food options yesterday at the selection show at Carver. So I'll have to check them out while I'm out there this week.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you.
All right, Kyle Usman joining us, covers the Iowa baseball team. Take a break, come back, a little breaking news for you. We'll talk about that right after this here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
At Target, affordable joy means finding everything you need at prices you can afford. It's that feeling when quality good and gather ingredients on the barbecue bring family around the table. Or when favorite day after practice snacks let you celebrate the whole team for less. It's when saving more on up and up sunscreen means more fun in the sun. And when Target's Circle Rewards program gives you more perks on what you buy most and is always free to join. That's affordable joy, only at Target.
Back with you at 3:53, Gym Class for a Tuesday on KGYM. Coming up next, it's the Todd Brommelkamp Show from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. And we've got the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals coming your way here on KGYM. We'll get things started, and that will be on Thursday night, Game 1 between Denver and Miami. And we'll have that at 7 o'clock for you. Stanley Cup Finals get underway, and that will be coming up on or the Stanley Cup Final. See, I'm getting confused now, Mark. Stanley Cup Final Game 1 will be on Saturday night between Florida and Vegas, the Golden Knights. Saturday night in Vegas. That should be fun for game number one. Mentioned we have some breaking news in the high school world, high school football to be exact. Of course, about 3 weeks ago or so, we learned of the resignation of Mark Bliss over at Cedar Rapids Prairie. Mark stepping down to set his sights on helping one of his daughters overcome cancer, and we wish the best for the Bliss family out there. And Prairie announcing today that taking over as the brand new head coach for the Prairie Hawks, going to have to get a new wardrobe, that's for sure. Kyle Knock is going to be the new football coach at Cedar Rapids Prairie. The longtime Kennedy assistant coach, been the offensive coordinator for the Cougars over the last handful of years for Brian White. Highly successful. Of course, his father, Don, former head coach at many places, former athletic director, Hall of Famer, won state championship at Grundy Center. And Kyle, who's 43, which makes me feel really old because I remember him running around on the sidelines. Of course, former Iowa State football player. And one of the things that clinched it for him, according to Jeff Johnson of the Gazette, was Dan McCartney making phone calls to Rocky Bennett over at Prairie and singing the praises of Kyle Knock. How about that?
Well, that can't hurt, that's for sure. Congratulations to Kyle. I think he'll do a good job at Prairie, but it's going to be a weird feeling when he sees Kennedy on the other side of the field.
Don't think they play, though, this year, in the next 2 years. Unless it's in a playoff situation. But... yeah, and good for Kyle. Kyle, it's time to see if you can take the helm. And maybe we'll get Kyle on in the next couple weeks or so. Talk about that. So Prairie with a new basketball, boys basketball coach, and now a new football coach for the Hawks. So congratulations to Kyle Knock out there. On the text line, great news for Iowa football commit and former Iowa Western defensive end Jackson Filer. He won the National Junior College Athletic Association Division I Athlete of the Year.
Impressive.
Very impressive. And probably be on the field for Iowa in some capacity coming up. I'd say this, it's only 3 months away or so.
88 days.
Oh, man. I'm going to enjoy summer a little bit before then. We're going to enjoy Caddy Smack coming up tomorrow, working on a really good guest, as well as having Brian Haas answering your golf questions, talking golf tomorrow on the program. So looking forward to that on a Wednesday. Scott Docterman's going to join us coming up from The Athletic on Thursday. We're going to talk about what's next for Iowa athletics after the retirement of Gary Barta. Thanks to Kyle Huseman for joining us. Thanks for all the interaction. Do appreciate it. Mark, have a very good night, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Will do. Talk then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. Have yourselves a great night. Talk tomorrow at 3.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of